Good morning, everyone. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you this morning and give you the praise and the glory. Somebody says amen.
Amen.
We thank you for bringing us into the house of the Lord again. And we know that the entrance of your word, it brings light and gives understanding to the simple. You know, thank you for the admonition of the Spirit, for what you have in store for us this year. And we pray, Lord, that even as we are here now to hear the word of God, you help us to engage you in the spirit and not in the flesh. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A quick recap. Last week, we spoke about what God, the message for the year was for 2023, that we will emerge. Amen. And I covered some couple of aspects, the natural aspect, but more so the spiritual. Today, I am going to talk, now, this is not today milk. Praise God. You know, when we have a child, they grow up on milk, but after a while, they got to take some solid food, and when they are grown, they got to take some strong meat. So, this is not milk today. Hallelujah! You know, well, but sometimes even adults have to step away from the meat, and drink some milk and so forth. So that's why we go back and forth. But today, the scripture says in Hebrews chapter 5 was, you know, challenging them and say, for when ye ought to be teachers already, you have need that somebody should begin to teach you again the basic things. But he said, look, milk is for those who are babies. But for those who are grown, they should have meat. So today we are talking about sons of God are emerging. Amen. Now this is a sequel for follow-up from last week. And I think I mentioned last week that I will continue something this week. Now, sons of God are emerging. So I want you to pay attention to this. You know, I prayed, I said, Lord, let me speak your word faithfully. Because the Bible says, he that has the word, let him speak the word faithfully. If you have a dream, tell a dream. If you have a vision, tell the vision. If you have a dream, you word. You know, and, you know, I don't want to speak what I want to speak. I want to speak what he wants me to speak. Amen?
Amen.
And when I speak what he wants to speak, I can't do that by looking at people's faces, thinking, what are they going to think? Now, Paul said, if I should yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. You know, so we are going to bring the word of God. There's some recovery in the spirit that's going on. You know, now the message is sons of God are emerging. Now, there is something in the spirit that's going on, folks. So, you know, last week I gave you some part of it, how God's going to bless you this year, but that you must focus on the Lord. That was the title last week. So we're picking up on that focus on the Lord part. But I have some things to tell us about the sons of God. Are everybody talking about the sons of God? Well, I myself, I've been talking about this since the 1970s. Can you imagine? It's the 1970s. We have been saying the sons of God. The sons of God are coming forth. But let me quickly get into this message. I'm going to give it to you straight as the Lord gave it to me. In the book of Genesis, chapter 1 and verse 26. Now listen to this. Don't say, oh, I heard that before. No, you didn't hear before what I'm going to say here today. You know, you may have read the scriptures before, but there's really nothing new that anybody can stand up and preach. You know, we can't preach anything new. But we are bringing recovery. You know, it's things that have been lost in traditions and following all kinds of things. They're lost. So we're bringing recovery. You know, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. That was the purpose. Now, in his image and after his likeness. That sons of God are now emerging in his image and after his likeness. Amen. Amen. Now, this is what he wanted from the beginning. Now, the dominion part, yes. But you can't have that dominion if you are not in his image and his likeness. So we want to focus on that. This was the purpose and this was the plan of God. And you jump to Romans chapter 8 and verse 29. You see more of it there. It says, for whom, you know, this is God. God knows everything about everything. God doesn't acquire any new knowledge. Amen? Is that true? God cannot learn anything new. He cannot. He already knows everything that there is to know. And even if there isn't anything to know, he knows it all. That's what makes him God. But whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. This is the purpose. People talk about predestination. If you want to talk about predestination, this is it right here. He predestined us that we will become like the Christ. We will be conformed to his image. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3 tells us that Christ was the brightness of God's glory and the express image of his person. So, naturally, that's who God was talking to. We are to become like his Son. Let us make man in our image. Now, let us make man in our own image so we can save him. No, that's not what he said. You know, now listen to this. Because this may challenge whatever we believe before. But let us make man in our image, you know, so we can bring him to heaven. No. Let us make man in our image so we can save him. No. Let us make man in our image so he can represent. Hallelujah. Represent. God wanted to reproduce himself in man. So that where the man is, God doesn't need to be there. He's already there. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, I'm going to be talking about some things today because this is where we are headed, you know, in 2023. And, you know, who is on the Lord's side? I mean, if you want to get on the train, great. You know, but, I mean, we've given the word of God every which way, you know. We've also told you the great things that God will do for you in the natural. Well, that's all there. But you got to focus on the Lord. And here is the focus on the Lord. Now, there is something that the whole world is waiting for. The whole world! And let me tell you something too here today. According to Ephesians chapter 4, from verses 11 to 13. Yeah, I'm going to tell you some things today which, well, you know, whatever, however you take it. This so-called is what people call them. The Bible doesn't use that terminology, but that's okay. There's some things we say that are not exactly like that in the Bible. For instance, the word rapture is not exactly like that. But we say it's okay. So people call these fivefolders, this and that, and so forth. That's fine. I don't have any problem with that. But let me tell you, it's apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, the world is not waiting for them. The world is not waiting for those titles. The world is waiting for sons of God. Now, what are these titles anyway? Apostles, prophets. You know, I may say some things about prophets, but I got to move along. Evangelists, pastors, teachers. What are they anyway? This is what they are. Really right here on the screen. He put all these things together for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the building, edifying means, building up of the body of Christ. Why? I mean, and for how long? Until the plan and the purpose of God is to bring us into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That means produce more sons of God. So that Christ will be not only the only one, but he will be the first among many brethren. Not the only one, but the first. It was the blueprint, and we got to go. So, these titles, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, they are really what they are workers in a factory. You're hearing it from me today. They are workers in a factory, and what they are supposed to produce from the assembly line are sons of God. Not some other member of the church. Not some proselyte. Not anything which we have been doing. Because Jesus said, you can pass land and sea to make one proselyte. And after we have done that, you make them twice the child of hell. The world is not waiting for pastors, folks. Let me tell you why the world even calls somebody a pastor. You know. Now, when they begin to see somebody emerging, because we've never really seen what a son of God looks like. We haven't. None of you have seen what a son of God. We read it in the Bible, all the things that were written about him. One, son of God. But we haven't really seen what they really look like. So when you see somebody emerging, when you begin to see them coming into understanding and beginning to manifest, think a lot. As a pastor, they call him pastor. They call him prophet. Call him whatever. Because people don't really know what to expect. And when they see, look, I'm a pastor in the church. Out there in the world, I'm not a pastor. Nobody cares about that title in the world. It means nothing. What we're supposed, let me put it to you this way. When you see those beautiful exotic cars roll out of the factory, you see some of them, as some of us know, there are even some that is above some of our heads. But let me keep it at the ones we know. You see the Mercedes-Benz, you see the BMW, you see the Lexus, you see all of these nice cars roll out of the factory. You know, when they roll out of the factory, you're not thinking about, when you're admiring that car, you're not thinking about who made the car. You're not thinking about the workers in the factory. You're just admiring the car. You see that car, and it's a beautiful thing. It's a thing of beauty to behold. You know, and you want that. But who cares who are putting it together? You don't know who put it together. You don't know. Do you know the name of the engineers that worked on those things? Do you know the way of the factory workers? You don't know. And who cares? I want that car. Glory to God. You know, so it's the same thing in this kingdom of God. What we world is waiting for are the sons of God. The world is not waiting for the factory workers. The pastors, let me tell you, some of these ministries are ending. You heard it from me today. It's right here in the Bible. Until we come. So, you know, they are doing their work and they're doing a great job, many of them. But There's a point in time.
Hallelujah.
When the sons of God begin to emerge, and they begin to come into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, then we won't be needing any of those things anymore. They will have fulfilled their role. They're done. A year ago, I stood here, I'm telling you about walking in the prophetic. How many of you remember that? And I said, look, don't be looking for a prophetic word here and there. You know, because you are still limited when you are doing that. God wants you in that realm all the time. But, you know, we can't really understand that. Because we're so used to, you know, the children of Israel, they did the same thing. God said, you know, if you obey my voice, I'll make you a kingdom of priests. Exodus 19 and 5. And they said, no. In chapter 20, he said, we don't want to hear the word of God. You go hear it and come tell us. Until this day, let me ask you this. Does God have or hear your pastor more than you? I mean, people think so, but you are wrong. Let me tell you this today. The pastor does not have any other exclusive access to God than we all do. Praise God. But we have access. Let's read Romans chapter 5 and verse 2. All of us, you know, have access. You know, by whom also we have access. Glory to God. So when you say, Pastor, come and pray for me. Prophet, come and give me a word. You are still not in that sonship. You're not in that sonship. And as long as you are saying that, you are keeping yourself in that place. Now, Paul said, look, when I was a child, I did childish things. But there comes a time when you grow up. Hallelujah. And you actually grow out of childish things. The little children that are toddlers, they wear the pull-up pants, the trainer pants, and all these things. The parents are careful that there'll be no accident and so forth. Make sure they don't drink too much water in the night and all of that and so forth. There comes a time they've grown out of that. Nobody's even thinking about it. Hallelujah. Now, but if we don't grow out of it, then we are still childish. You know, we just remain as a child. Now, the pastor does not have more access to God than you. Praise God. So we need to get rid of all that mentality. Pastor, come and pray for me. Why? Why does the pastor have to pray for you? You know, why can't we pray for ourselves? You know, well, we know the Bible, somebody is saying in their mind, you know, that, well, call for the elders of the church. Yeah, all of those things are there. But it's until we all come to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. When you come into that, and I'm going to show you the process in a minute, you're not going to need anybody else to pray for you. Hallelujah. You can do these things yourself. God wants us to come into the place where we do the things that we have been asking him to do. That's what a son of God is. There is a process of this son of God. For unto us a child is born. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. From the time that he's born, that takes a process before he is presented. Unto us a child is born. It took him 30 years before he was presented. In those 30 years, he did, we don't know. But God was preparing him. Now, we've been hearing about the sons of God for a long time. Well, maybe it's been taking the church this long to actually come to an understanding. But we cannot be in, look, the realm of the truths of the kingdom of God that have been kept hidden, say, from the world, since the world began.
They are now being made known even to principalities and powers through the church. If you try to figure it out.
You know, but not all that is church is church. Just like not all that is Israel is Israel.
But out of this church,
glory to God, there is a prophecy given in 1679. He said, the Lord sweareth in truth and righteousness that from the line of Abraham, according to the Spirit, there shall be produced and manifested in the last age a holy priesthood, and I dare say a royal seed.
Amen, amen.
A royal seed that will be produced and manifested in the last age. Glory to God.
Yeah.
It is called the powers of the age to come. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 6. In Hebrews chapter 6, it says, for those who are once enlightened, and those who have tasted of the powers of the world to come, he said, it is difficult to enlighten them again, or to bring them back, if they shall fall away. There is a reason why it says that. The beginning of this chapter tells you that we should move from elementary things, move higher. But then as you begin to get to verse 4, he tells you that it is impossible for those who are once enlightened. Now, there are many categories here, folks. There is category of those who are once enlightened. There's category of those who have tasted of the heavenly gift. But there are category of those who have also tasted of the powers. Read the next verse, verse 5. There's a category of people who have tasted of the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. Is anybody taste of that? And they fall back? They cannot be renewed to repentance. Now, they can still be renewed to repentance if they are still in the early stages and they fall away. You know, but when they get to that place, you know, and what is that place? Well, let's take a look at it. You know, there is a process. And the process, even Paul wrote about it in Galatians chapter 4. He said, when you are yet a child, even though you own everything, you are just a child. You're no longer, you're not any different than a servant. But after you start to grow up, you figure out that you are no longer a servant. Amen. You finally figure out that, wow, I'm actually the prince. You figure that out. You know? And so he said, look, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again, Galatians 4 and 19, until Christ be formed in you. That's a travail. And he himself is walking, he's traveling in prayer, he's teaching them, he's doing everything. These are believers. He wrote to the saints. You know, these are believers, these are not unbelievers. But yet he's praying that Christ will be formed in them. He's traveling until Christ be formed in them. Even John wrote in 1 John 3, verses 1 and 2, he said, look, now, in verse 2, are we the sons of God? But it does not yet appear what we shall be like. But we know something, that when it shall begin to appear, you know, this is the unveiling of all the things that have been hidden, and the recovery comes to us. When we begin to see this recovery, then we'll be like him. And we'll be as he is. Now, many people won't understand this because today I'm not talking about how God's going to bless you on your job. I'm not talking today on how your business is going to prosper. I already talked about that last week. And if you were not here, go back and listen to it. And God is going to do all of that for you in 2023. Hallelujah. But in this same year, God is advancing the kingdom of God. Hallelujah.
What the world is looking for is, what manner of man is this? Matthew chapter 8 and verse 27. What manner of man is this? That even the seas and the winds obey him. See what they're looking for.
Look, let me put to you this way. There are believers, and I pray that those of you who are here today or listening to this, that God will elevate your mind to not be like unbelievers. But let me tell you, the things that unbelievers are seeking for is exactly, they are exactly the same things that believers are seeking for. But the believers, especially Pentecostals, they are trying to use the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the Holy Ghost, and speaking in tongues to get the same things that the unbelievers are looking for. The same things.
If God begins to move now in this place, the power of God begins to fall, the cloud comes and you can't even speak, the next thing in the mind of people, it's not going to be, Lord, let me just be here and be like Christ forever. No, it's going to be, how do I get my next rent? How do I get my next car? How do I get my next promotion? How do I? And then we use the name of Jesus. We use the Holy Ghost. We pray in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I pray in the Holy Ghost too. We pray in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. To get these things. We use the name of Jesus to get it. But these are the same things that the people of the world are praying for. What then is the difference?
Well, let me put you to it this way. In the book of John chapter 3, when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, you know, let's look at verses 6 to 8 in John chapter 3. You know, he says, that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Glory to God. You know, and Jesus said, you got to be born again. In fact, let's look at verse 5 of that same place. Verse 5. Okay, this is the one. Verily, verily, I say unto you, let me put it to you this way. Except a man be born again, basically. So what Jesus is saying, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So take that verse and look at it. What does it mean? It means that anything that you can access without being born again is really not the kingdom. This is what this verse means. Unless you are born again, you cannot enter or see the kingdom of God. Well, so if you can access something, if you have access to something without being born again, then that's really not the kingdom. And unbelievers have access to the wealth of this world. In fact, some of them, the Bible says their generation, they are wiser than the children of the kingdom. You know, and they've got, and you know why? Because they don't have sin consciousness. Sin consciousness is what has been keeping the church, the believers, the people, individuals, from advancing into the image of God. Because sin consciousness derives your power with God. It derives your power within yourself. It derives your power even among men. Because you don't have boldness. Because of sin consciousness. But unbelievers don't have sin consciousness. So they can thrive. They can do these things and so forth. But the rules of the kingdom are different. Now, if you can access something without being born again, then it's really not the kingdom. Because Jesus says it right here. Except you be born again, you cannot enter the kingdom. You can't see the kingdom. So if I can see something and get it without being born again, then it's really not kingdom. Now, is there anything wrong with these things that we are having in the world? Absolutely not. God gave us these things. Freely enjoy. But look, we got to change our mentality. Praise God. Now, I talked about the rolling out and production, or the manufacturing, if I can use that word, of the sons of God. They are what? The fivefolders, so-called, are supposed to produce. Not produce church membership. Not produce proselytes. Not produce any of these things. But the church has not been able to do it. And let me tell you something else too. When Jesus was here, his disciples, even his closest disciples, they thought, I mean, he was here to torpedo the Roman Empire and do all of these things. Jesus said, no. You know, Jesus didn't come to do that. You know, so some of us actually think that, you know, we're going to convert the world, we're going to take over the world, and all of that. Now, the kingdom of God is coming to do that. But this is how the kingdom of God is going to do it. In the book of Daniel, chapter 2, and verse 44, this is how it's going to do it. In the days of those kings and all those kingdoms, the God of heaven shall set up a kingdom which shall not be ever destroyed. That kingdom shall never be left to any other people. But what is he going to do to the kingdoms of this world? Is he going to build up the kingdoms of this world? What is he going to do? Is he going to build it up? Look, I love my country, America. I love my other country, Nigeria, more than just as much as anybody else. But God is not going to build them up. God is going to break in pieces, consume all these kingdoms. Hallelujah. And then the kingdom of God shall stand forever. Now, so if you think that, you know, look, the government shall be on his shoulder. Christ is the head. A shoulder is the body. Government will be upon us. Now that government is not necessarily, we can't mix our faith with the systems of this world. It's not going to work. In fact, that's how Constantine's father made him destroy the Christians. He said, look, you threw them to the lion, they increased. You did all of these things, they increased. So what you're going to do now, when you get there, don't throw them to the lions. Don't do any of these things, but bring them in. Hallelujah. Bring them in. Give them positions. Accept their religion. Make it a statewide religion. Make it everything. You know, and then you've got them. They're dead. You know. Now, Jesus, they came to Jesus, they say, you know, you pay taxes, same as Peter. Does your master pay taxes? Should we pay taxes? Jesus said, well, show me a coin. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 22, verses 20 to 21. Show me a coin. And they showed Jesus a coin. Jesus said, well, whose image and superscription is on this coin? Tell me. They say unto him, Caesar's. And Jesus said, fine. Then give to Caesar what is Caesar's. Hallelujah. Jesus didn't come there to torpedo Caesar or anything like that. He had his own plan. Give to Caesar what is Caesar's, but give to God what is God's. Now, we've been giving to Caesar what is Caesar's, but we've not been giving to God what is God's. Now, so beginning in 2023, glory to God. The Spirit of God says, there is emerging for the sons of God. This seed that was prophesied to be produced and manifested in the last age is coming into view. Yes. Finally. Hallelujah. Now the world has not seen since Christ. You know, maybe the apostles approximated that. Some of them did. But still, you know, wasn't really like Christ. Here is the Son of God. You need to feed 5,000. No problem. Hallelujah. No problem. The boat has gone. You missed the boat. No problem. I'll catch up on the water. Hallelujah. The world has never seen that since Christ. I don't care what you say you've done. You haven't done it. But the sons of God Hallelujah.
Amen.
We will do it. I'm not going to say they. We will do it. Now let me tell you what a son is. And I'm going to give you some progression. Last year, I passed out something that looked like this, you know, which was the temple layout. And I talked to you about some things. You know, that temple layout, in the outside, they have this border. East, west, south, north. Three tribes here, three there, three there, three there. But the unbelievers were way out, even they call it the profane place. That's beyond the camp. Now, so here is the process. In the profane place, you are a sinner. We inherited that thanks to Adam and Eve. Now, when you cross over and give your life to Christ, as we say today. But how did they do it in the Old Testament for them to become part of that? Well, they were a chosen group of people. They were just a chosen nation. But the law said to them, obey the law, obey the law, obey the law. In the New Testament, he says, believe in Christ. You know, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. And after you have believed, then be careful to maintain good works. Because the foundation of God standeth sure. Hallelujah. He says in 2 Timothy 1:19. He says that that foundation is a seal that has two parts. The Lord knows them that are his, and let them that name the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. So the grace message is inaccurate. That one is also inaccurate. However, in the New Testament, it is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not obey the law, obey the law. But after you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, then you must move on from that belief system, which is the outer court. You got to move beyond. So in the outer court, you have the brazen altar. You also have some lava to wash your feet. You know? You wash your feet. You become a child of God. You know, you're going to Bible study and learning discipleship. You know, you are doing all these things. You are reading the Bible. But at best, it's still 30-fold. Now, if you are among the few, select few, that can cross over into the other sanctuary, which is called the Holy Place, where they have the menorah or the candlelights, and they have a showbread and so forth, then you got a little more. You got the Holy Ghost now. Now, majority of people are there. They say, well, we got the Holy Spirit. We speak in tongues. We do this. We do that. You know. But they themselves, the other group is kept from coming in because of the veil. That veil is called sin consciousness. You're not good enough. You stay in the outer court. Now, those of us who are good enough, those of us who are Levites and priests, and we can come in here, you know, and then they bring into that place also self-righteousness. Both sin consciousness and self-righteousness, neither one of them is good. Now, the self-righteousness and need consciousness, the final veil that keeps even those people out from the most holy place, is need consciousness. Father, give me this. Father, give me that. We're speaking in tongues. We're using the power of the Holy Ghost to get all these things that the world is seeking after. It's the same thing. You know, and it keeps us there. But when you move from from a disciple you're learning, you move, when you have the Holy Spirit, it brings you into service. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 says, the Holy Spirit is given so that you can have power to represent, you know, but it's still a measure. You come into service. But at best, even then, you know, you're still like a servant. Well, then you move from servant. Jesus said, look, I call you no more servants, But I call you friends. Because a friend is the one that knows the will of the master. Servant doesn't know. You just, hey, I'm going somewhere. Your chauffeur, he gets in the car, he drives you. You don't have to explain to them where you're going. Just tell them where you're going. They don't know what you're doing. They don't know what meeting you're going to have. They just say, servant. You know, but the friend, Jesus said, look, I've moved you from servant to friend. But even friend was the highest that they had in the Old Testament. Exodus chapter 33 and verse 11. He said, God spoke to Moses face to face. As a man speaks, Exodus 33 and verse 11. As a man speaks with his friend. The Lord spoke to Moses face to face. As a man speaks to his friend. So, at best, Abraham, friend of God. Moses, friend of God. All of these people, at best, are still friends. Didn't get into that sonship. There is yet one more category beyond friendship. It's called sonship. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Now, Jesus wasn't just a friend of God. No. He was the Son of God. Until this day, he's still the Son of God. You know, but at the level of friend, that's actually where the prophetic realm is. At the level of friend. You know, like Moses was a friend of God. He spoke to God face to face. But there is still a separation. You are still here and he's still there. You are speaking to him face to face, but he's here and you are there. I walk over and talk to Brother James right now, who's my friend. You know, I'll be there in front of you and talk to you, bro. How you doing? Yeah, what's up? And we're talking. And he's here. I'm here. He's there. But we're still talking face to face. Well, that's the level of friends. When you come into sonship, Jesus said in John chapter 10 and verse 30, my Father and I are one. Now that's going to be hard for people to swallow. What? They didn't like to swallow it either then. You know, my Father and I are one. This is what sonship is, folks. And I'll tell you that the Jews understand, they understood this. In the book of John chapter 5, when Jesus healed somebody on the Sabbath day, they said to him in, you know, because he said, they said, why are you doing these things? And he said to them, my Father walketh hitherto, and I walk. Glory to God. Now let's read it. Put up John chapter 5, we read from about verse 16. You know, John chapter 5 verse 16. They persecuted Jesus and sought to lay, kill him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. Next verse. And Jesus answered them and said, my Father walketh hitherto. That means my Father has not stopped walking. Some people thought that God, you know, has stopped walking since Genesis. Jesus is saying here, my Father is walking up till now. And because he is walking, I am also walking. Because whatever he's doing, I am doing. Hallelujah, somebody. Now we've heard of the Acts of the Apostles. We are now going to hear of the Acts of the Father through his sons. Hallelujah. The Acts of the Father through his sons. It's no more the Acts of the Apostles, folks. But now, look at the Jews in verse 18. Therefore the Jews were even madder. They got even more angry. Because not only had Jesus broken the Sabbath, as if that was not bad enough, that he had broken the Sabbath by healing somebody on the Sabbath day. Now, he said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. So these people actually knew that if you are a son of God, you are equal with God. They knew it. And that's why they rejected and wanted to kill Christ, because you cannot be equal with God. Was it or wasn't he? Philippians chapter 2 verses 5 to 9. He did not have to steal it. He did not usurp it. He was what he was. And Jesus said, look, I was born for this reason. And if I say otherwise, I'll be a liar like you. I know my Father, and my Father knows me. And Philip said, show us the Father. John chapter 14, verse 8.
Show us the Father. And that's sufficient. And Jesus said, look, Philip, have I been with you so long time? In the next verse, verse 9. Have I been with you so long time and yet you have not known me? Why are you asking me to show you the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is inside me? Let me tell you what sonship is.
Sonship is union with God.
It's not speaking to your friend face to face. Face to face is an encounter. Face to face is a visitation. We are moving from visitation to habitation. Visitation, man, I don't visit my brother here, we are speaking face to face. And that's what Moses had, that's what all of them have. What God is now unveiling is habitation. Hallelujah. We're not going in and out anymore. I will make you a pillar in the house of my God. And you shall go no more out. We are no longer going to the holy place once a year. Then we come out again and then live like the rest of the world. And then sometimes we get religious. We go into the holy place and we come out again and live like the rest of the world. Well, that was good for them. You heard the prophecy that came. He said, look, I tolerated some things. This is how God puts it. In the days of ignorance, God had winked at it. But now he's putting it in place. Let him that is holy be holy still. And let him that is filthy be filthy still. Because God is drawing a line. Hallelujah, somebody. He's drawing a line in the sand. But you must cross that line. There's a line that you must cross. Look, you talk about consecration. What is consecration? It's beyond, I set a time to fast. It's a life that God coded in your fingerprint. And there is a path that you must go through to bring out that purpose in your life. And if that's how God ordained it, no other way can get you there. You can try everything else. You can try to be like somebody else. It's not going to work. When you move from the sinner to the believer, God calls you saints. Don't call yourself sinners anymore. Amen. Some people say we are all sinners. No. We were sinners. Past tense. But God has washed us with his blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, somebody. Yeah. All the epistles were written to saints. To the saints at Philippi. To the saints at Ephesus. To the saints at Colossus. Or, you know, Colossus or whatever. All these saints, they're saints. But then they move into discipleship. They move into servanthood. When they receive the Holy Ghost, you begin to serve. Praise God. And that's what the fivefold is doing. You know, the real fivefolders, they're actually here, there to serve. When we come into a fellowship like this, have you ever thought that people call it a service? Why do we call it service? Why? We're coming into the service. There are many reasons, but let me just say the funny part. You know, the funny part is we call it service and there is a service charge. That's what many people say. Don't worry about it. There is a service charge. Some of them call it honorarium. Some of them call it whatever. But there is a service charge to give you that service. Whereas Jesus said, freely you have received. Glory to God. Freely you have received, freely give. So when you begin to compare the life of Jesus with where the church is now, I have so many things. Paul said, look, I have so many things to say unto you, but you can't bear them now. But we're going to have to start saying these things. How long are we going to say, well, Lord, it's not yet time? When is it going to be time? One day, Elisha, the man of God, he said, you know, 2 Kings chapter 4, he said, look,
Why should I wait for the Lord anymore? Come on. Come on now.
And then he come out. This guy is over, and he gave an outlandish prophecy. By this time tomorrow, something will be different in the land.
You know, the Lord has been saying, hold on now. Hold on. If you throw that hook before the time, and you try to reel them in before the time, you catch nothing. Hold on now. But the Lord now says, it is time. Hallelujah.
Now, when God wants to do something, it starts with God.
It's not because we pray, but we must pray.
But it starts with God. God said the time of the promise is drawing near. Then he begins to move you to pray. That's how it works. And then when we begin to pray, we think that, oh, it was because we did something.
No. Because God said, it is time. Hallelujah. When God says it is time, then the sons of God are now emerging. Now, this message may be a little over your head if all you are thinking about in 2023 is how God will bless your business. Which he will. We already spoke about that last week. That's a done deal. Hallelujah. But after he gives you those things, then what? Because you can do those things, you can access those things without being in the kingdom. But unless a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom. So whatever you can get without being born again is not really part of the kingdom. And the children of the world can get all these things. They can get their businesses expanding. They can get victories on whatever they can get all these things. But what is the difference? Well, the world is looking for a different kind of man. That's right. What manner of man is this? That the seas and the waves obey him. They're not looking for a pastor. They're not looking for an apostle. And some of you think, you know, because when you say, oh, the Lord is moving, people actually think that you have to be on the stage like me. I'm here right now speaking. And people are aspiring to be on that stage because we think that that's how God is going to do what he's doing. Pastors, prophets, apostles, and all these roles, they are for the factory. You heard it. They are to produce sons of God. Coming out of the assembly line. When they do their work right, what they will be bringing out will be sons of God. They will not be producing proselytes or producing church membership. All of these things are good. They may be a means. I don't even know if they're a means to an end. But they may be a means. But you need God. What God wants you to do is to go among the people. In the book of Acts chapter 6 and verse 8, we are told that Stephen, who was elected to be serving tables, when the apostles said, no, we can't do that. We've got to give our time to the word of God. We don't have time to serve widows. Find yourselves 7 men full of the Holy Ghost. Who can do that? Stephen was one of them. But in the book of Acts chapter 6 and verse 8, this Stephen, who did not have a microphone, like Peter, James, and John. Stephen, who did not have a platform. Stephen, who did not have a stage like this. He went among the people. He went among the people and he did great wonders and miracles. Now, he was supposed to be relegated to the background. Serve the widows. Leave the preaching to us. But Stephen said, that's cool. I'll solve the widows, but I'll go among the people. Hallelujah. Yeah. And he went among the people. He wasn't contending to try to force himself to be on stage. Why? That wasn't what God called him for. Hallelujah. Yeah. Do you know that Joel's army in the last days, they will not break their ranks. They will not jostle against one another. They will not break their ranks. You know, but he went among the people. The same thing happened to Philip
who was also one of, not Philip the apostle that was asking Jesus a question in John 14. This was Philip. Acts chapter 6, you read it there. It was one of those people that were appointed, those seven. Philip also went in Acts chapter 8 and verse 6. He also went to Samaria. He would travel to a different city. You know, they got away from Jerusalem and all these places. He went to different places, and their people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, seeing and hearing the miracles that he did. They saw his miracles. And Holy Ghost said to him, in the midst of all those miracles, leave all that stuff. I want to go to the bush. That's how Holy Ghost works. Holy Ghost can interrupt your day when you are in alignment with the mind of God. But when you are not in alignment, you've got the service program. We must do this. The president must come out. And after that, the preacher must come out. After that, we give testimony or announcement or whatever. Then we go home. All of that, that's all service. But that's not helping the world. All of you are in here right now. We're not helping the world. What we are trying to do here is to build up the body of Christ and then send you out into the world. When you are in the world, forget the title of pastor. Forget the title of apostle and prophet. What does that mean? That doesn't mean anything to anybody. But heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead. Hallelujah. Freely you have received and freely give. When you begin to, now the people will even come and say that a notable miracle has been done, we cannot deny it. We can deny all other dogmas and everything, but we cannot deny this one because it's a miracle. Praise God. Sonship, let me begin to close this. The sonship that we're waiting for is a union with Christ, but it's individual union. I chuckled when the prophecy was given. I said, one at a time. I chuckled because I said, well, the Spirit of God is one. This is one person. It's only one person that went into that holy of holies. The crowd did not go in there. It was one person. The 70 elders and all those people did not go in there. One person. Now God is looking to change the world one son of God at a time. But when the sons of God all come together, listen to this. I don't have time to develop it. I'll develop it next time. When the sons of God now all come together, they're now called the bride sheep. When it's one person, it's called the son of God. When they come together at the end, they're called the bride. And many of them. And listen, it is not the church and the spirit that is going to make Christ to come. It is the spirit and the what? Bride. The spirit and the bride. Amen. Finally, after the apostles, prophets, evangelists, all these people have finished their work, when the sons of God are fully emerged, one by one all over the place, when they come together, they form the bride. When they form that bride and say, Spirit, the Spirit of God and the bride. Hallelujah. We say, come. Hallelujah. Yes. Well, he couldn't come before that. There is absolutely no way that he could do it. He would break his own word. He couldn't do it. But now he's there. We're standing on the edge of that possibility right now. Glory to God. Now, I want you to stand to your feet. Time will not permit me to talk about some more things, but let's leave it there for now. Let's ponder on those things and see, look, are you really interested in this kind of teaching or message? Or all you want to hear is how God's going to bless you and give you the hidden riches of sin. I still have that message. I haven't preached it yet.
the hidden riches of secret places and the treasures of darkness. I haven't preached it yet. Because God said, it's not time. Can't handle it. Because if you have been unfaithful in that which is small, how is God going to give you the hidden riches of... But we drop it here and there sometimes and people shout and rejoice and it's good. You know, enough, just a little twinkling can get you excited, get you doing great things in life. That's great. But this is what is in the mind of God. Right here. Let us produce a generation of God kind. Hallelujah. It wasn't God's intention to make, you know, this degenerated mankind. He actually wanted to reproduce himself in man. And we could have been called God kind. But at the end of the age, the Lord sweareth in truth and righteousness that after the lineage of Adam, there shall be a holy priesthood, a royal seed produced and manifested in the last age. Well, I'll say even manufactured, if I can use that word. Well, because those of us who are working in the factory, we better work harder and smarter by the grace of God to produce the sons of God. And the beauty of it is, as we are working to building up the body of Christ, we ourselves are part of the body of Christ. Amen. The husbandman must be first partaker of the fruits. You know, I spoke this message to myself before I spoke it here to the church. Now let's lift our hands and pray. Have you now understood these things? Well, you know, it'll be wonderful if this church started to produce sons of God. Son just means offspring. Don't be confused about woman or man. In Christ, you know, all of that. You know, son means offspring. We are the offspring of the Lord. And here's what God wants about you, for you. Isaiah chapter 60. This is your prayer today. Let's make this our prayer. Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 and 2. Put that up for me and let's use it to pray as we close this. Arise and shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Amen. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee. Amen. And his glory shall be seen upon thee. Amen. And this glory is not just for us to be seeking after the things and using the gifts of the Holy Spirit to get the same things that people can get without being in the kingdom. This is for us to seek after God and his righteousness. This is for us to seek to be like him. So that out of your belly will issue forth rivers of living water. And that river, those rivers of living water, according to Ezekiel 47 and verse 9 or so, that wherever you get to, it will heal. Those rivers will heal whatever they come into contact with. The people, the world, they are waiting. Now let the sons of God manifest. Well, I don't even like that word manifest. Because we have bastardized it too much. You know, manifestation of the sons of God. We've been talking about it for years. Let them emerge and come out of obscurity. Let them come into their own. Now if you are a son of God in the house, lift up your hands. And say, Lord, be it unto me according to your word. That's it. God just wants your yes. That's all. All he needs from you is yes. Will you say yes to the Lord today? If you will say yes, step out here quickly and say yes. I'm not praying for you to receive miracles on your job today. But if you will say yes to the Holy Spirit, let's step out here this morning and say yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Withholding nothing. Withholding nothing, I surrender all to you. Every I give to you, withholding nothing,
Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, we pray. Grant us the grace. And many of you need the infilling of the Holy Spirit. We're going to do that in another service. You need the Holy Spirit for this work that we have. And many who have received the Holy Spirit, they have nothing but speaking in tongues. They have no power to demonstrate the character of Christ. And we're still living a yo-yo life. I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus, myself and all the people as we lift up our hands today, Lord. Receive us, O Lord. Pour out thy Spirit upon us. Change us from our vile nature into the nature of the Son of God, that we may represent and that we may be that which the world is waiting for. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
And pray for the person to your left and pray for the person to your right.
Let's pray. Pray for everybody.
Glory to God.
The glory that I had with you from the beginning, I have given unto them. Somebody put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen.